Are you good at waiting? In the mid-1960s, Walter Mischel, a psychologist, performed a test on a group of four-year-olds. It's become famous today. It's called the marshmallow test. Gave a marshmallow to four-year-olds and said to them, "Here you go. If you wait 20 minutes before you eat it, you'll get two more. If you don't wait, you won't get any more." And so, some of the children ate before the 20 minutes. Now think about a four-year-old. 20 minutes. You know what 20 minutes is to a four-year-old? 20 days. Never mind. Some ate, some didn't. And some got the extras, others didn't. They then went on to follow these children all up through their teen years and came to some ideas of development on those who wait and those who do. I don't even want to go into that. I don't even know how sanctified all of that is. But I just was intrigued by the story and I wondered, how would I do? How would my family do? I think we do pretty good. Except Tori. Tori might go for that marshmallow. I just think the rest of us don't like marshmallows very much. But there's sugar in marshmallows. That's why Tori would go for them. Now, if it was chocolate, no dark chocolate. Danielle, whether she was 4 or 40, she would have scooped up that chocolate. And before the other kids even had a chance to think about it, she would have batted her eyes, somehow convinced them, and taken their chocolate as well. I know it. How about you? How are you at waiting? How would you do with the marshmallow test? How about Christmas time? Are you good at waiting? Before our children came along, I was accused of actually, when the presents were under the tree, and 3 or 4 days maybe they'd start, shaking them. Actually, was accused of peeling back tape and looking in between the wrappers to see what I was getting. Now, whether that accusation was justified or unjustified, I'm foggy in my memory. I don't really recall. But if you were here last night, you said, "Well, what's happened? He doesn't even like gifts now. He returns everything except the snacks." So, I myself am not good, or wasn't good, when it came to Christmas presents. Let me ask you a question. How are you at waiting on the Lord? For those things that you see in the Word of God. Maybe the dreams and the desires that you have in your life. We are going to take a look at a Christmas story account, and in particular, one person named Simeon in Luke chapter 2. Because he waited. And he waited well. You see, you can wait and not wait well. Moaning and groaning. And is it time yet? And when is it going to happen? And where are you? Versus just wait well. And we're going to see some characteristics from Simeon where he waited well. We don't know much about Simeon. There's indication he was an older man. But there's no indication that he was a temple priest or a rabbi or synagogue leader. He's just a faithful, solid believer, follower of God, a righteous man in his community. And I think, for me personally, that's even a better example to learn how to wait well. Let's take a look at the life of this man. And because he waited a certain way, he saw a promise. He saw a prophecy that Isaiah had actually shared. We heard last night, 700 years earlier, he saw it come to fruition. Right there in his own eyes, right there with his own hands, he was able to touch the promised Messiah. And he would tell us it was worth waiting for. I'm going to read the scriptures, and then we're going to come back and we're going to take a look at those characteristics of worthy waiting. And touch on and maybe pull out, exegete, and flesh out these principles from these few verses. Verse 25 of Luke chapter 2, you'll find that in the back of your program. Of course, you'll find it in the scriptures as well. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul as well." Well, let's take a look at some of these characteristics of worthy waiting that we see in Simeon's life. We're going to see, first of all, he was secure and he was surrendered. We see that in the first verse. Now, this man, Simeon in Jerusalem, we're going to see he was, first of all, righteous. That means he was conscientious. He was careful when it came to matters of faithfulness and how to live right. Righteousness is living right from God, for God, but before others. You're going to make the right decision because in your heart, you've committed yourself to God. And he has his principles, he has his ways, he has commands and his instructions, and you follow them, compelled from the heart, not simply because somebody's watching. He was a righteous man and devout, no hypocrisy. He followed God's ways, God's laws with pure motives, and he was consistent. And he waited. He had a hopeful expectation for what? The consolation of Israel. That was speaking about the fulfillment of the messianic hope. That God said from the very beginning, even as Moses gave us the Pentateuch, the five first books, and from the very beginning, you see in Genesis, that God was speaking that he was going to send one who would redeem and save. And then as his prophets, his spokesmen came, time and again, they would speak about the one who would come, the Messiah. Isaiah, as we've been studying together as a church family, had some of the greatest teachings on the prophecy and the coming of the Messiah. And here we have Simeon waiting for the consolation of Israel, that God would set things in right order for Israel and for the rest of the world. And we see here he was led by the Holy Spirit. He understood the Word of God, knew the Word of God, and waited as he followed the instruction of God. We also see in the next verses that he was sensitive. He was sensitive to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He was able to hear from God, but even as he went about serving God. And that's so important for us today. As we wait on God for whatever his word has spoken to us about, we continue to be faithful in serving him. And we notice here, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he was given this revelation. He was given this assurance. You're not going to die until you see the Messiah. Could you imagine that? So he had this confidence, and as things went on, he just said, I'm getting old, and we don't know how old he was, but, you know, God's given me a promise. And so he waited, and there was a calm about him because he trusted God. He believed God. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. And what was the custom of the law? Well, if you go back to the beginning of chapter 2 here, you'd see that on the eighth day, a Jewish boy was taken to the temple and he was circumcised. And at another later time, the mother would come and she would offer up some sacrifice, part of her purification during that season. But that would be a later time. And so which one of those is going on here? We don't know. It was either the eighth day or was it the 40 days later? But in all of that, whatever was going on there, they were obeying. They were following God's instruction to do with their young Jewish son their boy, as the law would require. And all of a sudden, there's Simeon hanging out, coming to the temple, being led at that moment into the temple, this older man. And all of a sudden, there he sees this young couple, really young. She couldn't have been more than 15 or 16. He might have been a little older. And they come up and he notices and there he's making a beeline. Can you imagine? Those of you, even now who have the young ones, I see some of you with your young ones right in here. And this man, they probably don't know him. Oh, let me have your baby. What? So he came into the temple. The parents brought the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law. He took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace. So he just scooped up that child. Parents obviously gave their young baby to Simeon, respecting and honoring him. Maybe they did know him. The scripture doesn't speak about it. But now Simeon blesses God. I'm ready to go. Take me. It's all right. Because you've let me see, and according to your word, going back to verse 26, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Reminds me of Matthew 1:21, a powerful verse where the angel first appeared to Mary and said, miracle's going to happen. Yes, you who are a virgin, you who are without child, you are not even married yet and haven't been with a man, you are going to become pregnant. And you are going to be pregnant with the Messiah, with the Son of God. She says, how is this going to happen? I don't know a man. Well, the Holy Spirit of God is going to come upon you and you will conceive. The angel would say to Joseph later on, because Joseph needed some convincing. Mary probably had a discussion with him. And he said, what? And an angel appeared to Joseph and said, it's true. Take her. Just tell him the truth. And you shall name that baby Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus, God's salvation. And here, Simeon, waiting for that consolation, not only for Israel, but for the world, as we're about to see. And see, we notice here, he's satisfied. And he's sobered because he realizes that greater impact that this young child, this baby, who he would grow up to be. For the prophecies of Scripture speak about that as well. And so he says, as he's blessing God, my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. They pondered in wonderment. What must all of this mean? They had heard from the angels. They had seen what had happened up to this point. They understood what was going on in the community. And now all of a sudden, Simeon shows up and affirms something that they had heard that nobody else would probably believe. And they're going, whoa. Listen to what this man is saying. And so they wondered about that. And then Simeon blessed them. And he said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed. Literally, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Simeon is saying this child, this one from God, he will unveil the true intentions of the heart. The schemings, the motivations of why people do what they do, in particular when it comes to their religious activity, in particular when it comes to matters of faith. He says some will fall, literally, they will collapse, and they will receive that consequence due them because in their heart, they are not willing to set apart this Messiah, this child, as God's salvation for them. But others, they will. Others will be raised up in Israel because in their humble, low, devout reflection will come to believe that this one is the Messiah, the promised one of God, not only for Israel, but for all nations, just as God had promised Abraham that from his seed, all nations would be blessed. And all the while, we notice that this child will be opposed. All of the while, as he walked, there were people who contradicted him, who came against him, and it culminated in his crucifixion. You and I can't celebrate and grasp Christmas without even looking forward to recognize that he came on purpose. He came specifically to go to that cross in the right time and the right season to take upon himself a punishment, a payment to be our substitute so that we might have peace with God. And so here Simeon is giving a glimpse of that to Mary and to Joseph. And then he says to her, "And a sword will pierce through your own soul also." He's talking about a gruesome pain. The pain of a double-edged, very large sword that pierces through her soul in anguish. And of course, we see that as she watches her son being rejected, even by his own siblings growing up. And even in those last weeks and days, and from the beginning of his ministry to the end, and especially at the crucifixion, watching that and her soul, that pain, that anguish. But oh, was it comforting for her to be reminded that 33 years earlier, Simeon had come and had shared with her, hope to prepare her for what would come. Friends, as you and I wait on God for whatever it is we're waiting on him for, to read through his word, to accurately know that as we wait, there are some things we will go through, and he says, and I'll lead you through it. I will let you know how to wait. You know, our hearts, I believe, sometimes we think we're not so complicated. But the reality is, I think we're really complicated. That we have these compartments in our lives. It's as if we have a board of directors in our hearts. Picture that conference table. All of the leather chairs, there's the coffee and the water on the table, there's a whiteboard on the wall. And so we have the private board member, you know, that nobody else knows about, things that are kept in secret under lock and key. Then we've got the entertainment board member. We've got the work board member, the family board member, on and on and on. We have those people sitting around a table. And they're constantly making decisions, wanting to make decisions, wanting to give their input as to decisions, what to wait on and what not to wait on. And in all of that, there is conflict, there's struggle, and there's battles that go on within our hearts. As you hear, just in our own confusion, one wanting to push their agenda over another. And there are some folks, when it comes to the Messiah, when it comes to the Christ, when it comes to Jesus, somehow, some way, when they made that commitment or received him, there was a confusion that they were simply inviting him, receiving him to come and to join the board, to become a welcome board member, where he would take over the religious part of the life of that individual. And he would have the greater say on what went on in that part. And for some reason, they're shocked that there's still confusion. There's still heartache. There's still a lack of peace as they walk through life. And then there's those who, when they trust and they receive Christ personally, recognizing him as the Messiah, God's salvation, and how they need a Savior because they recognize, I've missed the mark. I've rebelled against God. Yes, I have sinned. And in doing so, they say, Jesus, when I'm asking you to come in, you fire every one of those other board members. You kick them out. You're the chairman of the board. You're the full board. You have access to every area of my life. you lead. And it's your counsel that I will listen to. Wonderful counselor, right? Mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. He says, that's who I am. That's who I can be. Yes, in this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome the world. So we see these characteristics of Simeon and how he waited. He was secure and surrendered. He had assurance from God's Spirit. God's Spirit is the comforter. He's the teacher. He's the one who comes alongside, reminds us and teaches us of everything God wants us to know. He can be your comforter. He can give you security and assurance as well as you're surrendered to that truth. He was sensitive to the Spirit. He went to that temple exactly when and how the Spirit of God would lead him. And then there he met the Messiah. Wonder how many times he had gone waiting and looking. There are crossroads in your life and my life. God wants our antenna to be up. He says, I'm leading you. You never know what opportunity I'm opening before you. Maybe to speak on my behalf or to actually to receive the thing that you have been waiting for. That I had put into your heart and you are cultivating and praying over and waiting on me for. So he walked with a sensitivity to God's Spirit as he served God, even at that season of his life. And then he found great satisfaction. He said, God, I'm content as you have answered and you have given to me that which you have promised. But he's also sober to the reality of what he encountered when he met the Christ, who he would be and how there would be conflict. That Jesus came and he said, there are those times where even in a family, I will bring division. Why? Because I stand for truth and righteousness, God's truth. And not everybody is ready to respond and to receive at that moment. But he says, don't give up. You keep walking with me. You keep waiting on me. You keep praying and you let me work. Because he says, I govern the heart. I'm the one who can change and align and enter into a heart. And Jesus says, I do it willingly. I knock on the door. I don't kick it down. And if someone would open up that door, receiving me, I'll come in. I'll dine with him. We'll begin a relationship. And they give me full access to their home. As you look at the back of the bottom of your program, you'll notice there a text from Psalm 37. And as we close, these are just faithful principles and instructions for us about how to wait well. And those things, those dreams that you're waiting for, as you commit them to the Lord, really commit them to the Lord. Let him lead you. And then the celebration. How many times you will be able to just bless God. God, my soul, like Mary later, say, my soul magnifies thee. How Saint Simeon just bless God. Thank you, God. This is the answer. This is better than what I've been waiting for. But because we wait in a worthy manner, we'll recognize it and we'll know it. And our hearts will be overflowing. Here the psalmist writes, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. That means roll it over to him. Follow the rest of the board of direct. Commit your way to the Lord. Give it all to him. Trust in him and he will act. Notice how he will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. He's really going to expose what's inside. And if there's righteousness there, if we're devout and consistent and the motivations are pure and what we're waiting on is from him, he's saying, I will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday. So be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil desires or devices. refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself. It results only in evil. Join me in prayer. Father, as we celebrate the birth of Christ, and Lord, even on this particular Christmas Day, 2011, Lord, for many, that waiting came and it was received, the Christ. We recognize and we blessed you. You quickened our spirit at that moment. There was God conviction, recognizing, acknowledging, I need a Savior. Why do I need a Savior? Because I've missed your mark. I missed the mark of the one true holy God. That God of Simeon, that God of Mary, that God of Joseph, the one true God for the world. And the bridge to you, Father, was the Messiah. The promised consolation for Israel would make things right with Israel. And Lord, that hasn't even been fulfilled fully yet. But it will come when Jesus returns. And yet, Lord, even for those outside of the promises of the chosen nation Israel, even for Gentiles, possibly the great majority in our room here today. Lord, that you have come, and Lord, even at those moments responding to you, we are secure. Lord, help us to wait for those things, to commit those things and learn to delight in you, and not to be men, women, boys and girls who fret and whine and complain when we don't see. But like Simeon, God, to just be anticipating, have our antenna up. You are faithful. And for that, God, we find great security. When we take our eyes off of you, when we allow those other departed, fired board members to rise up again to distract where we get into trouble. Oh, that is why we daily need to sit at the feet of Christ, our Savior, the Word who became flesh in your Word, and let Him lead, let Him speak. Times and most times he speaks softly, clearly. Sometimes he shouts, he yells, because we're in such danger. Oh, that we would be so sensitive to his voice by your Spirit. So Lord, as we leave and depart out this day thinking about what it means for the Christ to come. Yes, there's the picture of the child, but then we look to the picture of an opposed, battered and crucified Christ, who went willingly so that we might have peace with you. That's what Christmas is all about. Truly having peace with you. So we commit ourselves again, renew ourselves again to this life that you have called us to. And Lord, as we wait for the coming, that second coming of Christ, that each one in this room could say, oh Lord Jesus, please come. I'm living today righteously and devout. No hypocrisy. When I stumble and fall and I sin again, I just renounce it. I confess it and I forsake it. Because Christ in me has paid for it. Your Spirit in me clearly brings conviction. And I stop the justifying. I stop the reasoning. Oh Lord, that we could be looking for that second coming. And maybe for some in this room, they've not welcomed the first coming of Christ and why he came. Lord, maybe today is the day that, Lord, their spirit is quickened. And they would say, oh, Jesus, come. I recognize, too, I need you, God's salvation. I welcome you into my life. Fire every other board member. That's scary to me because that's my life today. But that's what true trust is. To believe that your way and your plan and your purpose is better than the one that I've conceived for myself. And I'm living myself. I'm going to trust you with my life, with my eternity. I would begin not a religion, a new religion, but a relationship with Almighty God, Heavenly Father. Jesus, it's in your name I pray, and it's in your name I bless and say thank you for this great salvation. Thank you for holding me until this day that I've waited, and to this day that you've received me as I've received you. In your name I pray. Amen.